Well, 2 days ago, I joined what we might call a spiritually mixed group of people, including some long-beloved church brethren from various locations and from various Church of God groups, as we all attended the memorial service and celebration of life of our long-time sister in Christ, Patty Humphreys. That was a somewhat sad occasion, it's true, but on the positive side, Patty has now shed her old, pain-ridden, earthly tabernacle, and her next waking spark of consciousness will be on the day that this day, this Feast of Trumpets, pictures the exciting and glorious day when the seventh and last trumpet sounds. The day that Patty will be reunited with her faithful, long-serving husband, Patrick. When they and all their fellow dead in Christ church members will be raised in the first resurrection. They'll be born again, not just to continue as Holy Spirit-led members of the Church of God, but then, on that day, reborn into eternal life as Holy Spirit-composed members of the very family of God. There were three, call them groups, of people in attendance at Patty's memorial service on Sunday. First of all, the geographically and organizationally scattered true Church of God members, those who know and believe in the exciting and inspiring significance and meaning of this feast day, and of all of the other holy days too, of course. Secondly, there were the so far uncalled people who have absolutely no idea of the meaning of this day. Not yet, anyway. And number three, there were some ex-Church of God members there who once knew it, once believed in it, and once celebrated it as we do today, but for whatever reasons have been deceived into walking away from it. When we consider some of the Bible's inspired warnings, we might rightly be concerned for this latter group of people. But still, and I urge you to do this, brethren, according to God's word through the Apostle John, you don't have to turn there, it's in 1 John 5, but we can pray that our great merciful God would grant them repentance. But let's return to the positive, thinking again about the day on which the Feast of Trumpets is to be fulfilled. On that day, the stunned and dumbfounded minds of all the people who will still be alive as physical human beings at that time, their minds will be totally confused by the truly amazing events that will have been taking place. Think about it, brethren. On that day, for 3.5 years, the whole world will have been enveloped in what's called a great tribulation. Many of the people of our rebellious modern Israelitish nations were included in that and will have been taken into captivity. All prophesied, brethren. Meanwhile, during that same 3.5 years, God's two witnesses will have been busy preaching and prophesying with the great power of the Lord God. But Satan and his beast and his false prophet and all his other servants, all his other henchmen, will have been pulling out all of the stops to prevent what is about to happen. But their vain attempts will be to no avail. Because it will happen, brethren. It will happen, and nothing and nobody can stop it from happening. There was a time, and not so very long ago either, really, that many people, certainly more people than today in the world, and perhaps especially those in our Israelitish nations, there was a time when they did have, the people did have some limited understanding and belief in the Holy Scriptures and the prophecies, and yes, even including that of the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. And that limited belief is reflected in some of the classical music of the period, including the piece that we're going to listen to today as our special music. And this is called, the name of this is a truly astonishing Tuba Mirim, T-U-B-A-M-I-R-U-M. It was written by the 19th century French composer Hector Berlioz. And I say truly astonishing because although Berlioz was not really a religiously devout man, he still did possess a great ability to paint pictures, to paint musical pictures, and in this case, to project through this music an example of the true feeling of the absolutely vast impact of the prophesied future events that are going to take place at the instant of the sounding of the seventh and last trumpet. That day, brethren, that sounding of that trumpet will be a truly pivotal instant in the history of mankind. The video today includes English subtitles, but let me give you an advanced preview of the English words of the piece, okay? Here's the English words. It says, a trumpet, and the words, by the way, are not totally 100% accurate, brethren, so don't start throwing things at me. A trumpet spreading a wondrous sound through the graves of all lands will drive mankind before the throne. Death and nature shall be astonished when all creation rises again to answer the judge. A book written in will be brought forth in which is contained everything that is, and out of which the world shall be judged. When therefore the judge takes his seat, whatever is hidden will be revealed, nothing will remain unavenged. So again, brethren, although not 100% scripturally accurate, the words are inspiring in the music as well. But the words are not totally accurate because Berlioz has the later second resurrection and the great white throne judgment conflated, mixed in with the first resurrection and the earlier judgment of the people of God's true church. We have to keep them separate. At the time of the first resurrection, which this holy day pictures, it won't be all mankind who will be rising again on that day. It won't be all mankind who will be summoned before God's throne on that day. It'll only be God's first fruits. The others will have to wait until the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment, which I believe are pictured by the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. But I have to warn you, much of today's special music is loud. Some of it might even rattle your senses. And that is an effect which I believe Hector Berlioz designed it to do. It seems that the idea that Berlioz was wanting to get across to his listeners to this piece, the idea was the understanding that that day, which we know to be the fulfillment of this holy day, will be like no other ever. No other ever. On that day, everything changes. And from that day, absolutely, brethren, absolutely, nothing will be the same as it was before. Why not? Please turn to Revelation chapter 11. Just one verse here, brethren. Revelation chapter 11. And just one verse, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. Okay, he talks about his trumpet there in chapter 10 and chapter 8. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, basically saying, from here on in, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I feel that the huge, again, brain-rattling brass instrument fanfares of this music, accompanied by the astonishing number of thundering, literally thundering percussion instruments, might picture the immensity of the greatness and the importance of this huge transition from the end of the world today to the beginning of the world tomorrow. But also, perhaps, it might partially picture the confused state of the rattled minds of the poor surviving human beings, most of whom will not have a clue of what's going on. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the resurrection chapters, brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, shall be raised incorruptible, and we, you know, he's talking about Christians who will still be physically alive at that time, and we shall be changed. And again, brethren, I'm thinking that the loud parts of this music today might partially represent the state of the minds of the surviving non-Christian human beings, while a few quieter parts of this music, and especially the short section at the end of the piece, might represent the new and total state of peace that will then be enjoyed by the newly resurrected and newly changed Christians. Please turn back to Matthew chapter 24. This is a scripture that has been... Jesus said these words, brethren, but these words, these two verses have been avoided by many Church of God people, ministers in the past, with the idea of the rapture, okay? Matthew chapter 24 and verses 40 and 41. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women should be grinding at the mill, and the one should be taken and the other left. Now, you know, we could think that would be, you know, taken away to the place of safety. That's true. But just try to imagine the shock if this takes place on the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Just try to imagine the shock of the non-Christians on that day when they see their Christian fellow workers, perhaps in the beast's end time slave camps, maybe disappear, or maybe even drop dead before their very eyes. When in the twinkling of an eye, the old physical human bodies of those Christians are miraculously cast off, and they put on their new spirit-composed bodies just before they rise to meet our Lord Jesus in the air. Please turn to the other resurrection chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And again, Pat and Patty Humphreys come into our minds once again today. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Brethren, we do have hope. We have hope that is based on the knowledge of this book. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we all do, don't we? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God, our Lord Jesus, bring with him. We'll actually get into the actual prophesied time sequence of all of this on the Day of Atonement. We'll be talking about it on the Day of Atonement. But right now, let's continue in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And we do. These are wonderful words of comfort. The video recording that we're going to watch and listen to today is about 7 minutes long, brethren. It's quite an old one, quite an old recording. It's from the year 2000 BBC Proms concerts in London at the massive Royal Albert Hall, huge venue for classical music. A few parts of the video are a bit shaky, and there are a few pops and cracks in the quieter parts of the soundtrack. And, if you go on the internet, you'll find a lot of newer recorded versions of this music to be found on YouTube and that kind of thing. But even though the sound and the video recording of this one might leave much to be desired, I chose it because of its visual and audible impact of its huge, absolutely huge orchestra, and the even huger choir, massive choir that was separated likely by physical necessity because of the size of the choir, separated into two large sections. And when I saw that, I thought that those sections might symbolize, in my adult mind, of course, on the one side, the 144,000 newly resurrected saints, and on the other side, the surviving, still human, non-Christians who, at the instance of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, will still be physically alive to witness this majestic and hugely pivotal event. So now, brethren, to illustrate all of this that we've just read, to illustrate all of this with some truly amazing music, Hector Berlioz's Tuba Mirum, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra and massed choirs, all conducted by Sir Colin Davis. So, and hold on to your seats.